Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. We continue our study on stewardship for life. Today we're going to look at the parable of talent. And the title of the message, the theme of the message is You Are Accountable. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? For the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, that at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have in abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just praise you because you are the good master. And you have entrusted us with so many gifts, and so many resources, Lord. Today I pray that you'll remind us of what you've given and entrusted into our care. And that you'll refire us, Lord, revive our hearts about being faithful stewards. Lord, I pray that you would convict those who are lost of sin. That you would begin to work with them even now, drawing them to you for salvation. I pray for those who have grown cold through time, for whatever reason, Lord. I pray that you would begin to melt their heart even now, drawing them to you. And I pray your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As Michael mentioned, the memory verse for this entire study, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. 2 weeks ago, there was a point of the message. Do you remember what the point was 2 weeks ago? Really quick. Oh, I'm impressed. Good job. It all belongs to God. That's what we are. We have nothing. We're just managers of God's property. Here's the thought for today. You are accountable. Can you say that with me? You are accountable. There's coming a day when the Master will return and you will have to give account of the things that you've done in this life, the way you've used God's resources in this life. And that's what the text today is about with and the parable of the talents. And first thing I want to call your attention to is the ability of the steward. And we started the story of the parable of the talents. We read how he gave to each of his servants. The master was very generous. And we read, you know, he gave one 5 talents, he gave another 2 talents, he gave one talent. And so our thought is, that doesn't sound like a lot, but I want to tell you, 1 talent was the equivalent of 20 years labor, pay for 20 years labor. That's a lot, isn't it? I mean, if you want to give me 20 years pay today, yeah, come on, bring it on. I'll take it. So I want you to understand from the very beginning, he was not being stingy with any of these guys. Even the guy who got 1 talent, it was a fortune, or in my book, it would be a fortune. But I want you to point out, or I want to also point out and notice that he gave them all 3 a gift of talent. Okay? Everybody got something. And that's the first thing I want to remind you of today. You have a gift. And your gift is not unimportant. Your gift is not cheap. God has looked at you and he has given to you according to your ability. And so don't look around and say, well, you know, my gift's not important. I can't sing like Brother Michael. I can't preach or teach Sunday school. Or I can't... No. First thing, you have a gift. A talent that God has placed in your care. So don't make excuses and say, I don't have anything. I was reading an article of a deacon at a church in Boston. This deacon said to himself, I cannot speak in prayer meeting. I can't sing in the choir. I cannot do many other things. But I can put 2 extra plates on my dinner table every Sunday and invite 2 young men who are away from home to break bread with me. So he began to do that. And he did that for 30 years until that man died. And when he died, he was to be buried in a town that was about 30, 40 miles away. So they had a funeral train. And they were going to transport him to the cemetery. And the call went out. They wanted to find out the difference that the man made. So the call went out. And it went out to all of the young men who had been influenced and brought to Christ by the life of this man. And they told them that they had reserved a train car just for them. And on that day, funeral day, these guys began to show up who had met Jesus Christ because of this man. They began to show up, and 150 men packed that boxcar to go to this man's funeral. 150 men from 30 years of setting 2 extra plates. 150 men came to honor the memory of the man who preached to them the gospel of the extra dinner plate. I want you to think about that for just a moment. See, most people don't, you know, I'm not important. I can't be the preacher. I can't be the music director. No, you have a gift. Use it. You see, God not only gave you a gift, he's giving you a gift according to your ability. Looking at and reading this, the master didn't take requests when he began to go, or before he went off on his journey. He didn't come and consult the servants and said, how much do you think I should leave? He did. Why do you think I should leave you? Why didn't he do that? Because he knew the servants. He knew what each person could handle. And that's why it says he gave to each according to his ability. And I'm reminding you today that stewardship is not supposed to be an option. You may back up and say, well, I didn't ask for this gift. Well, too bad. You got it. Deal with it. You know? Your gift is not an option. You can't choose your gift. There are people who think, boy, if I could just play the piano like Miss Beth can play the piano. But you can't. I can't either. That's all right. I want you to understand that God has given you something unique and special to you. And you are just as accountable as a steward of God for using your gift as Miss Beth is to play that piano right over there. You are. And you are just as important. It's interesting. It says he gave according to ability. You know what that word ability means? It means potential. He gave to each according to their potential. You have potential. Huh? You realize that? Everybody here has potential. That's not what you are. It's what you can be. And God knows what you can be. You read about in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. I love this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. You say, but Brother Doug, that was Jeremiah the prophet. It doesn't matter. You're no different than he is. God knew you before he formed you in the womb. In Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that cool? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You know what, little, can I put that in modern day terms? God, you did a good job when you made me. That's what that means. And it's not being haughty. It's not being full of yourself. It's backing up and realizing, hey, God had a plan for my life from the very beginning, and he made me like I need to be. You see, we make a mistake oftentimes in trying to be like somebody else in church. You don't need to be like anybody else. God made you, you. We also make mistakes about trying to be involved in everything in church. You don't have to be involved in everything in church. Use your gifts. I discovered as a pastor, I used to think it was my job to do everything. You know what? That just burned me out. That's all it'll do for you. You find your gifts and you use those gifts. Identify your gift. Do you know what you're good at? You're afraid to answer, aren't you? Don't you think? Do you know what you're good at? I'm not saying this isn't a full of myself, you know, question and answer thing. But if I say I'm good at something, that just kind of seems haughty. No, God has made you good at something. What is it? You know, when I was in school, you know what I wasn't good at? I could not spell. Still can't. If you receive an email from me, if spell check don't catch it, you'll probably laugh. Right? I just never developed that gift. If you will, my mom used to sit down with me, and I still remember it. I was like in the first, second, third grade, and she had asked me, we had spelling books, you know. We go over my spelling words every week, over and over and over. And I couldn't get it. I'd still make C's on the spelling test. I just wasn't good at it. But you know what? God didn't call me to spell. He called me to preach. So it's okay. It's all right. And now we've got spell check, so if I ever decide to write a book or something, that can, you know, take care of that for me. I want you to understand God took great effort in making you who you are and what you are, and placing the gifts, your abilities in your hand. Don't waste it. Don't waste what God has done. Identify your gift and cultivate your gift. Okay? What do I mean by cultivating? I mean grow your gift. You realize you get better at what you do, right? You may have a natural tendency to be a musician, but practice and music lessons will make you better. You may have a natural tendency to absorb what you read very well, you know? And you just read, and once you've read it, you've got it. But the more you read, the better you'll get. Sometimes you might just need to take a class. Do something to improve yourself, because once you stop learning, you'll stop growing. Okay? You find that gift and you back up and say, how can I cultivate this gift? How can I learn more about this gift? And do it. And then certainly you grow it through applying it. All right? Have you ever seen a preacher? I've heard it, I don't know how many times. And you may have said it about me. But anyway, I've heard it about young preachers. You know, I've heard people say, he'll never make a preacher. You ever heard somebody say that? And then you catch him 20 years later, and the guy can preach heaven sweet and hell hot and make you just want to shout, you know? You think, what happened? Well, he preached for 20 years. And hopefully that makes a difference. The same way with your gift. The more you use it, the better you'll get at it. Okay? So identify your gift. Cultivate your gift. And use that gift. Now let's talk about the opportunity. Alright? The opportunity of a steward. And let's examine the heart. As you read about these servants who were given, the first thing you see is you see the excitement in two of these guys. The guy that received 5 talents. What does it say? It said he went out and traded with them. The guy who received 2 talents, he went out and traded with him. He saw his opportunity. He said, all right, we're going to do something with this. And they went, began to use what the master had placed in their hands. But there was this third guy. There's always a third guy. This third guy dug a hole. It says he put the Lord's money in that hole. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody dig a hole and put the talent in there? I'll tell you why. Because it was easier. It was easier. Just hide that thing. You don't have to worry about anybody else knowing about it. You don't have to worry about using it. When the master comes back, you dig it up and give it to him. And besides that, it's funny that it uses that word hid. And it means to hide from view, you know, that nobody knows. Isn't that what people do with their talents? I mean, after all, if everybody knows you can, guess what? They'll expect you to, right? If they know you can sing, somebody's going to say, come get in the choir with me. If they know you can sing, Brother Dale just may call on you to sing a special someday. Yeah. Oh, we wouldn't want that, would we? If they know that you can deal with kids, they just might call on you to teach one of our children's ministry classes. Yeah. So it's best just to keep that between you and the master, right? Well, see, here's the thing. God knows what you're capable of. And God has expectations. It doesn't matter what I think and, you know, what I expect of you. Because honestly, you're not going to stand in judgment before me. And I'm not going to stand in judgment before you. But you are going to one day stand and give an account to the Master. Luke 12:48 says, for to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more. Listen, we've established the fact that you've got it. All right? Will you repeat after me? I've got it. Okay? I've got it. One more time. I've got it. Okay. One more time. I've got it.
I've got it.
The it that we're talking about is a gift. A gift to use. Alright? You are accountable. So get rid of that, oh, I don't want to heart. And start using what God has given you. Because you know what? We'll get to this in a minute. That's where the joy is. When you use your gift for the Master, that's where the joy is. You see, your ability and God's resources equal wonderful opportunities. Yeah, you wonder, why aren't people actively lining up to feel... I feel sorry for Brother Mike. Every year we do this thing called a survey. This year we changed the name of it. What's it called, Brother Mike? Stewardship Opportunities Forum, right? So that's coming out right now, this month, right? And the same year, every year it's the same thing. I feel so sorry for Brother Michael. People just stand in line at his office saying, Brother Michael, I want to do this. Brother Michael, I want to teach that class. Brother Michael, I want to. They just stand in line, bug him to death. Don't they? That's a preacher's dream, isn't it? No. Why don't they? Why don't we just stand in line and say, I'll do it. Here am I, Lord, send me. Because a lot of us are like this one servant. It's just easier to bury our talent and not worry about it. Oh, but you're missing a blessing. Look around and see the opportunity. You see, there's so much more than just attending a worship service. John 4:35. I love that verse because Jesus said, behold, lift up your eyes. Look, the fields are wide in the harvest. Now, look around. There's opportunity everywhere you see. We've got to open our eyes. You are usable. You can do something. Consider the stewardship survey. It comes out right now. It's out today. Okay? You can fill it out online. We've done everything we can do to make it convenient for you. So you have no excuse. Amen? Okay. Yes. Fill that rascal out. Fill it out. Look for a place to serve. Are you an able body? Brother Doug, I've heard this I don't know how many times. I don't know what to do. Well, let's just look. Open your eyes. First of all, there's a mission trip. Do you know we're going on a mission trip this July? Going to Gallup, New Mexico, to the Navajo Reservation. There's still slots available if you'd like to go. Come go with us. We're going to do a vacation Bible school, and we're going to minister to children on the Navajo Reservation as well as adults. Come go. Come go. Well, Brother Doug, I would have to take vacation. Bless your heart. It's okay. Take vacation. For once, take vacation and dedicate that time to God. Go on a mission trip. This won't be the last. Maybe you can't go on this one, but this won't be the last. There will be other opportunities. Can you sing? Join Dale in the choir. Well, Brother Doug, I'm not real good. That's okay. That's all right. You don't have to be real good. You see, that's the idea of choir. The choir covers up people who are not real good like myself. You know? Do you love babies? Always, always a nursery spot. Always a children's church spot. Opportunity for you to serve. Do you love teens? Okay. Y'all got to help me. I'll never get done. Y'all never get out today. Do you love teens? Teen opportunity. Brother Michael has no place to meet this summer. Until we get a new building. Brother Michael has no place to meet. So anyway, tell Brother Michael, bring the teens over to my house. I want to feed them one night, and you can have your Bible study here, and I just like to love the teens. You see the opportunity? You see
And you said, Brother Doug, I can't do, I don't want to do any of those things. I don't feel led to do any of those things. You know what? There's a really cool gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. There's a really cool gift. You know what that gift is? It's the gift of helps. Did you know there was a gift of helps? A talent of helps? And that means, it literally means just to help somebody. Give them assistance. Can you cook? Is there anybody here that can cook? I'm trying to get y'all to go. Come on, go with me here. Is there anybody here that can cook? Amen. Amen. You know what you do? When somebody's sick, cook a meal for them. Take it over to their house. Just want you to know I love you. Just want you to, in the name of Jesus, I want you to enjoy this meal because I love you. Can you work? Are you an able body? Can you work? Are you an able body? All right. Somebody who's going through sickness or illness, come mow their yard. Coming up on yard mowing season. Yeah. Mow the yard for them. That's the gift of helps. Can you sew? I kind of figured that'd be two or three, you know? Sew something for somebody. Make a baby blanket. I don't even know what they call them. I call them crocheted dillies. You know, the little things you set on a table. Whatever they are. What? Dolly. A dolly. I was close. Dilly dolly. But you see the point. You can do something. God is not done with you. You're still here. Right?
Amen.
And you're not here to breathe in God's good air. That's not your purpose. Find your talents and put it to use because you will be held accountable. All right? Not by me, not by this church, but by the Master Himself. Then we go to the accountability of the steward. See, one day the stewards all face a day of reckoning. And that's what happened here in verse 19. The Lord came back and says He came back to settle accounts. And I want to remind you, our Lord's coming back. Okay? And He's coming back. You will stand, we call it the judgment seat. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. Are you ready? We're closer than we've ever been. It may be. Maybe today. The funny thing is, you see the joy of these guys that were faithful. The master comes back and there's three stewards. He comes back and he deals with the one he gave five talents to. And did you notice the reaction of this guy? It's, Master, you gave me five talents. And I put it to work and I've gained five more talents. Master said, good job. Good job. Good work. Good work. Good job. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. He goes to the second guy. And the second guy's the same way. Master, you gave me two talents. I went to work with them. And the two talents have made two more talents. Good job. Man, y'all are great. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Good job. Proud of you. You see the joy. You know, I think that's probably why most people in their spiritual life are not very happy. Because most people aren't doing very much in the name of Jesus. You know? We think just attending church is good enough, and it's not. I love the joy of the first two. I hate the sorrow of the last one. He comes and it's one of those, did your mom ever say, wait till your dad gets home? You know what that feels like? That wasn't a, oh boy, daddy's coming home thing. That was a, you're going to get torn up when he gets here. And that's kind of this environment, this situation.
The master comes back, first two, oh, we're good. Good job, guys. And then you've got this last guy. Lord, I knew you were a hard man. Lord, I was afraid. So I hid your talent in the ground, heard you coming, went and dug it up, and here's your talent. You want to know what's really funny? The Lord didn't come back for his talents. The master did not come for his talents. He came to reckon or to settle accounts. And he only took back the talent that wasn't being used. Have you ever noticed that? The two, first two, he says, good job, guys. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter in the joy of the Lord. He never took those talents. Why? He wasn't worried about what he was getting. He was concerned that my servants loved me enough to serve me. Oh, those guys were rewarded. And I can imagine. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. They enter into the joy of the Lord. Make you faithful, or you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Oh, but that lazy servant. Verse 26, you wicked and lazy servant. Now, this is not my words. This is from the Word of God. You wicked, lazy servant. You knew the expectation. You knew why I gave it to you. And you did nothing. Now, take away from him that talent and give it to him that's got five talents. Why? Because it was a waste to leave it with this guy that wasn't going to do anything. It's a reminder to me. Use it or lose it. You familiar with that? Use it or lose it. Oh, listen, I know we can all do better as far as our talents and gifts go. But the only way we're going to do better is when we back up, take a look, and decide, okay, God has blessed me. I'm not going to squander His blessings. I'm not going to bury His blessings. But rather, I'm going to honor God with what He's entrusted to me. It starts by walking with Jesus Christ. Number one, are you saved? Are you a child of God? If not, good news is Jesus Christ gave His life for you so that you could have eternal life. That's what Calvary was about. He took your punishment so you could have eternal life. Are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, are you the faithful steward? Or are you the one that's dug a hole, hid the talent? Because it's easy. Now's the time, as stewards of God, to do business with the Lord. As we have this verse of invitation, Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for this, for Your Word, and for this example that we can look. Lord, we don't want to be wicked and lazy servants. We want to be responsible and productive stewards. So, Lord, first of all, we pray for Your forgiveness for our laziness. And we ask that You would revive our hearts. Renew a zeal. Put a fire within us to use our gifts and abilities for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to end a little differently today. We're going to have a song led by Brother Dale. And while he's singing, our ushers are going to be passing out to everyone present an envelope. All right? Do not open the envelope. Just hang on to it, and I will share with you what you need to do with it after everyone has an envelope. So just hang on to that envelope, and let's enjoy a song of praise together with Brother Dale. Are you ready? Open your envelope. Merry Christmas. No, it's not Christmas. This dollar represents the talent that God has entrusted you with. Okay? Take this dollar, put it somewhere, hang it on your refrigerator, put it in your pocket, put it somewhere where you're reminded that God has given me a gift. This month, the month of May, is stewardship month. We're emphasizing using your gifts. All right? What I want you to do, what I'm going to ask you to do, is first of all, this isn't yours. All right? It belongs to God. All right? And so, one thing we're going to do on next, and I've forgotten the date, the first Sunday of June, I think it's the 5th, we're going to have Celebration Sunday, a celebration of stewardship. Here's what we're going to do. As you're using your gifts and as you're reminded throughout this month to use your gifts, I'm going to ask you to email me once a week. All right? Everybody who received a dollar, email me once a week. My email address is, you can call the church office and get it, Doug, D-O-U-G, dot Hambrick, H-A-M-B-R-I-C-K, at yahoo.com. Once a week, email me. And in that email, I'm not talking about a thesis, okay? I'm talking about a couple of lines sharing with me how you have used your talent or your ability that God has given to you. Whether it's visiting someone in the hospital, baking a cake for someone to be a blessing, putting your arm around them, just a couple of lines. Throughout this month, we're going to be sharing some of those things. I will not, unless you specifically tell me, I can use your name. I will not use your name, but I will use, you know, your testimony, because testimonies are encouraging. All right? Also, if you are blessed by someone using their talent, this is really important. If somebody does something for you, you may not know who it is, that's fine, you don't have to. Email me and tell me, Brother Doug, I received this, or somebody did this for me, and it was such a blessing, and I just, you know, and tell me why it was a blessing. Because first Sunday in May and in June, we're going to celebrate this. All right? We're going to celebrate the whole month of May, but we're also going to celebrate on that specific Sunday. Can you do that for me? Can you email me during the week? This is not going to work. Can you email me one time?
Yes.
That's four times. Can you email me? Yes. No. Okay. Email me. You've got my email address. And you have to understand, this is going to encourage me as a pastor. Okay? Other thing we're going to do the first Sunday of June, you'd never guess this, we're going to receive an offering. I want you to take your dollar bill that you have received here today. It's a building fund offering. And I want you to put this back in the offering plate the first Sunday in June in our special building fund offering. It's one of the few times we're going to take separate offerings that day. I want you to take this and put it back in the offering plate that Sunday. All right? And also, however the Lord has blessed you, I want you to add what you would give to this dollar. Okay? Can we do that?
Yes.
All right. I feel like there's something I'm leaving out. Brother Michael, am I leaving out something? Oh, if you do not email, next Sunday, write a note. Write a couple of lines. Put it in the offering plate. All right? And we'll get it that way. Either give me an email or a note in the offering plate. I want to hear from our members. Please. Please, I'm asking from the bottom of my heart. All right? Can we do it?
Yes.
Stewardship month, let's stand.